I think at this point, for at least however long our window is, it's World Series or bust kind of atmosphere. Expectation to win every single day, expectation to be in the playoffs, no doubt. And we just got to see how far we can go.
Lucas Giolito, one of my all-time favorite guests on the podcast, because he always brings it. And you know what? He brings it again here on the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust. He's a pitcher, but he is batting 1,000 here on the podcast. And we cover a whole lot of ground. Which White Sox pitcher he believes has the nastiest pitch in the league? Why he thinks Sox have the best bullpen in the majors? Why Andrew Vaughn, in his mind, is going to be a force in 2021? Michael Kopech throwing gas here in Arizona. How Yasmani Grandal is quickly filling the void left by James McCann. The impact Ethan Katz is making. The attention to detail under Tony La Russa and a whole lot more. This is what you get when Lucas Giolito comes on the podcast. Ace pitcher, ace guest, Lucas Giolito is coming your way.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
That ball hit deep, way back. Deep to left field.
Holy cow. Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead.
Jimenez leaves the ballpark. You can't put it on the board. Yes.
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast. Okay, Lucas Giolito, let's begin with the biggest news of the offseason. Johan Moncada's music video. What do you think about that?
Desastre Personnel.
Oh, you can know the name of the song.
Yeah, I mean, I got to see some clips from it like last year. I'm pretty sure that they filmed it before our season last year. They've been kind of sitting on it a little bit, waiting for the right time to release. But I mean, it looks like a good time. They're having a party. I don't know. Like, I haven't translated the lyrics yet, so I don't really know what the song's too much about, but I don't know. It's cool. I mean, I'm always in support of my teammates pursuing their creative artistic side, because you know, that kind of gets lost sometimes in baseball. You know, it's so much about, you know, sports and routine and business. Like, you know, it's good to kind of let it out in other areas sometimes.
Right, let's play it for the people. If in case you haven't heard it, here we go. Oh, it just stopped. Here we go. So that is Yo-Yo singing, right? Is that really him? Oh, you're dancing. That's funny. You were dancing.
It makes me want to dance, man. Yeah, I mean, engineered, of course. You know, he got in there with the producers and they made him sound real, real good. But I don't know. I mean, he doesn't like singing in front of us. Like when we are on the bus and stuff, and it's like, you know, it's everybody goes up, sings their song. You know, it's kind of like a rite of passage the way we do it. He doesn't like to sing. So I don't know if, and we're like, sing in Spanish, like sing whatever you want. Nope. He won't do it. So
he needs to be in a music video. He's not going to waste it on you guys on a bus. He needs to be on a set knowing this is going to go global, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's got to, you know, recording the song, he's got to be in the studio. He's got to have his producers,
six beautiful women around him.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's apparently on the Billboard's tropical charts. And so you're saying this was filmed before COVID happened, because we were trying to figure out when this was even done. So this is before the last season, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't know the exact details, but I mean, I saw like clips of the music video last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. You can't see yourself singing in a music video like Yo-Yo? No.
I can't sing, man. That's like the one thing. That's the one thing. I love music so much. I listen to all sorts of different kinds. I just can't sing. My singing voice is so bad.
I won't even begin to ask you to sing here. That would I would not put you in that position.
Mm-mm.
Well, I want to tell you, so last year I looked at this. The name of the first podcast that I did at the start of spring training last year was Playoffs or Bust. And not even realizing I was doing this, the first podcast I did when I came out here for this year was World Series or Bust. Now, this is what I put together. Are you feeling that this team has gone from playoffs or bust to World Series or bust this year?
Absolutely. Playoffs are expected at this point. You know, last year we were still kind of on that tail end, kind of finishing the rebuild. We had the pieces. Now let's see, like, let's build that winning culture. We feel that we kind of came up short last year. I think we could have gone deeper in the playoffs personally, but it is what it is. We learned from it and it just made us hungrier for more. I think at this point, for at least however long our window is, it's World Series or bust kind of atmosphere. Expectation to win every single day, expectation to be in the playoffs, no doubt. And we just got to see how far we can go.
How would you describe not who you guys acquired or signed, but what? What did you guys get? What did you gain from Eaton, Lynn, Hendricks?
Very important pieces. I think that the Hendricks signing kind of cemented us as the best bullpen in baseball. I know that writers around and writers fans might have different opinions, but I'm very confident that our bullpen is just an absolute monster. Eaton brings kind of what we need, really, really solid defensive right fielder, a guy that's going to get on base, kind of like one of those pesky type hitters, like a Madrigal type, but with a lot more experience, World Series winning experience. Anytime we bring a guy into the clubhouse that has a lot of experience in the playoffs, especially winning, that's always a good thing because we can always kind of lean on that, learn from that guy. Lance Lynn, an absolute horse for our rotation, a guy that's going to throw a lot of innings, put up good numbers. Again, like another veteran presence, someone for me to learn from personally, as well as other younger pitchers. So yeah, those three guys, it's wonderful to have them here.
So I'm wondering, when you showed up at Camelback Ranch and you saw Adam Eaton, was this the first time you've had a conversation with him? Like, this is a guy you were traded for.
Yeah, first time ever meeting him. Yeah, it's come full circle.
What was that like?
It was
you
cool.
Guys talk about cool. The fact that you, oh, we finally meet. Two ships passing in the night. We're now teammates.
No, we actually didn't. We haven't talked about that at all yet. I asked him a little bit about the Nationals organization and their playoff run and everything. And we talked a little bit about our team culture, what we're trying to build in the clubhouse. All really, really good stuff from him. I'm looking forward to, you know, him kind of stepping into that kind of leadership role, along with some of the other veterans and just helping, put everything together.
When you have had some conversations with Tony La Russa, I know you haven't spent a lot of time with him, but has there been like a moment or something he has said or done where you're like, oh, I get it. This is Tony La Russa. This is what we're going to get as our manager.
Yeah. A lot of the conversations earlier in the off season were about creating a family environment. He really, really stressed to me how important it is that all the players in the clubhouse are fighting for each other. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter how long you've been with the organization. We are a team. We're a family. Win, lose, doesn't matter. If we're playing for each other, we're going to get the best out of each other. And that was great to hear. as well as like the attention to detail, like these first few days in spring training, it's just unbelievable. Very direct to the point. Like, this is what we need to get better at. These are the things that are important to me. Very clear lines of communication. It's just been fantastic.
I'm not trying to say anything critical about Renteria, but how are things, you started going down that road, but how are things different, better for this team that you're seeing that's going to help them that you didn't have last year?
The thing is, I loved Ricky, you know, I wasn't exactly, I wouldn't say I was happy to see him go by any means, you know, like, you know, that guy really believed in me when not a lot of people did. I think that I might need a little bit more time to kind of gauge everything. I just really, really like how spring training is being ran from like a logistical standpoint. Obviously, with the COVID protocols, there's, you know, a lot of stuff we have to do. We have to be careful about, but it's like the scheduling, the stations, like moving from, you know, this activity to this activity. We're having meetings on holding runners. We're having meetings on sign sets. Like,
you've never had that before.
It's kind of tough because last year in spring training, it seemed like we were kind of going that way, but then spring training got cut short. And summer camp was like, we have a little bit of time to prepare for a season. It's like, we didn't really have time for meetings about signs and stuff. So, I don't know. I'm just like really happy about kind of the day to day, like what we're going over, just the attention to detail.
I want to go back to the playoffs because, wow, what a test that was. Even though it was only three games, I was thinking about a lot of you guys when you took the field, certainly in game one, because it was the first time you guys were in the playoffs. And I'm looking at you, and you have to take the mound. You've never been in the playoffs. And what do? You had a perfect game into the seventh, give up two hits, one run, eight Ks, got the win. Did you know what to expect? Did someone tell you what to expect? How were you able to do that and not let the moment get the best of you? Cause you had never been in that stage before and you performed like you did.
Plenty of conversations with Dallas, during the course of the year. I mean, obviously he comes from a wealth of playoff experience. And you know, despite having some nerves for sure, the night before, the morning of, kind of the good thing was that we were in that early slot. You know, we had like the noon game. So it was like, wake up, eat breakfast and play. You know, I didn't really have time to like sit there and overthink anything, which was ended up being a very good thing for me. But yeah, I mean, I definitely leaned on Dallas a lot, just conversations about, you know, whatever differences there might be. But at the end of the day, like the clear thing was, you know, despite more pressure, more eyes, whatever it is, like, when you step between the lines, it's the same game. You're still throwing 60 feet. You're still facing a big league lineup that you've prepared to face. So for me, the biggest thing was just really putting all my work, all my trust and my preparation leading up to that day. And then when it came to it, you know, maybe after the first pitch, everything just felt like any other game. And the goal is to dominate.
When you guys got eliminated and the season was over, did you know, McCann's gone. This is it. That was my last game with McCann.
I had hopes we would re-sign him, but at the end of the day, like the way he played the last couple of years, it was going to, yeah, he deserves a starting job. And so, you know, it was kind of that feeling of like, you know, it is what it is. He meant a lot to me over the last couple of years. You know, I don't think that I would have made some of the strides that I made in the last couple of seasons without him behind the plate for me. But at the same time, like, I'm so happy for him. The contract he got, you know, he's on a really great team in New York. You know, him and his family are set. And, you know, he gets to have that starting job and, you know, pretty much be in command of the team from back there. So that's what he deserves, man. I mean, I can't be upset about that one bit.
How much are you going to miss him?
A lot. I mean, I still text with him all the time. You know, he's one of my very, very close friends. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm sure I'll be facing him at some point in the future. Maybe not this year, but
maybe in the World Series.
Central. Yeah, maybe.
But how much are you going to miss him on the mound? And I want to talk about Grandal in a second, but how much are you going to miss that thing that you had with McCann?
Yeah, I mean, having like that really close relationship with a catcher, it doesn't come too often. And so it was definitely not something that I was taking for granted at the time. And it's not something I'm taking for granted now. Now it's time to start to build that relationship with Yaz. I'm really, really excited that I have a full spring training to work with him before getting into the season. I threw a live bullpen today and I was kind of taken aback by the preparation he's done behind the scenes for me. He's been looking at a lot of video of my starts, his glove placement, the targets that he's presenting. I think that it really shows the work he's been putting in. You know, the game calling today, I already said it, but like where he's presenting the target for me for each and every single pitch, like he has it down already. From now, it's just a matter of getting more reps, communicating, and we're good to go.
You can't replace McCann, but it sounds like he's trying to be him for you.
I don't think he's trying to be McCann. I just think that he's
trying to fill the void. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
He studied so much this offseason, early spring training, that he's getting behind the dish and he knows exactly like what I like, what I need, and he's doing the job. I don't think a player should ever try to like exactly emulate another player. You know, Yaz has had a kick-ass career, which he's continuing to do, and he's one of the best catchers in baseball. So I'm very excited to be working with him. Today I was really, really taken aback by you know, what he was providing for me back there behind the dish. And I think it's only going to get better and better.
Yeah, I could have worded it differently, but you see what I'm saying. He's trying to be what McCann was for you as much as he can. What mm-hmm. by being who he is, right?
Yeah, and that's all I can ask for out of a catcher, man. Like, you know, that's the thing with Yaz is like he's not going to talk about it all the time, but like he puts a lot of work in behind the scenes. So did Mac. But I don't know, man. I'm just excited to keep it going. You know, today was a good day. You know, just keep having more and more good days and getting better.
Now you added a knuckle curve. Is that the pitch you added this offseason?
Kind of.
What do you call it?
We call it the downer because it's supposed to have like fastball plane and then just go down. I'm working on it. It's a completely like new grip than whatever I'm used to. It's not a like turnover curveball. You throw it like that. So, yeah, I mean, for me, the main focus is always fastball command. The changeups there, just continue to throw that. I'm working on kind of moving the changeup to different sides of the plate now. And then the slider was probably the most important piece I was working on this off season, really defining that shape to it, having the feel for the strike one, having feel for the strike to ball put away, the back foot, the back door. That was the main focus. The downer pitch can be a great fourth pitch, but if I spend all this time just like tinkering and working on that, then I think that the like meat and potatoes of my repertoire could suffer. So for now, it's just a pitch I'm working on, and we'll see if it will be something I can use this year.
It's going to be funny. First time you throw it at a game and it works, it's going to be great for you. The hitter is going to be like, what the F was that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a similar pitch to my slider. Okay. The main thing is I have to create separation from the slider, you know, with the slider going this way, I want this one to go just down. So, you know, it's a little bit, just got to build the muscle memory.
All right. Coming up, more of our conversation here on the White Sox Talk podcast. We're back after this.
Okay. It's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So I go back to, you used to throw, what, 100? You used to max out at 100, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at now? And what would you like to get to?
Well, in games last year, I was generally like 93, 95 on a good day, like I'll top out 97. Right now in spring training, I'm in the low 90s, just trying to hang out there and not trying to push it too hard. But velocity isn't really a concern of mine. I can step on the gas when I need to. I think that with the way my fastball carries it, my main focus is spinning it and throwing it where it needs to be thrown, more so than just pure velocity. I'm not like trying to build velocity. I'm not trying to throw 100. I think that it's possible. I mean, it's got to be in there somewhere, but that's not really a focus, because I'm comfortable with where my velocities are, the differences in velocities between my pitches, separation. The main thing is commanding, you know, keeping the walks down and throwing a lot of innings.
So when I read a story, while we're in this era of, you know, home runs and everyone's saying, oh, the ball's juiced. And then there's a story that comes out that says maybe the baseball might be different this year. They're going to tighten things. Did you see that? I don't think you'd even see the difference yet in the baseballs you have in spring training, or maybe you have. What do you think about what might potentially be changing with the baseball this year?
I saw some articles saying that they're going to try and deaden them a little bit. I don't think that we have those baseballs yet. The only thing I'm concerned about is like, will the outside of the ball feel different? Because if the outside of the ball feels different, then we have to adjust as pitchers. I don't know. To my knowledge, I don't think we have those baseballs yet. We might. And if we already do, and that's what I'm throwing, they feel like last year. So I got no concern.
This is a kind of a tongue-in-cheek question. It's about Ethan Katz. There's a lot of pressure on you, Lucas. Ethan better deliver, because
I think he already is, man. He's been putting in a lot of work. As soon as he got hired, I mean, he was communicating on a daily basis with like every pitcher, pretty much, sending video, receiving video, showing them drills. And now that we're all here in person, like it's only increased to say the least. He really, really cares. He knows how valuable his job is, what we need out of him. It's all been good.
Yeah. Are your teammates coming up to you and going, oh yeah, I see why Ethan's this good?
Yeah, we've had a few convos like that. Yeah.
You want to keep those to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it's just You know, it's not, you don't really have to, you don't have to talk about it too much. Like when you see guys getting better, you know, I was very impressed with Cease's last bullpen, you know, Lopey as well, you know, he kind of tightened up that arm action a little bit. He's hiding the ball better. Everybody's making strides, you know, all, that's all that matters is guys are getting better. And we have a pitching coach that really cares about getting those guys better. And so the work's going to be put in on both sides.
Did you hear what Grandal said about Cease the other day?
Yes, I did.
Cy Young caliber. What do you think?
Yeah, there's no doubt, man. He's got some of the best stuff in the league. You know, he throws the ball 99 miles per hour with ease. When he's spinning it right, it also has very high carry. And then his curveball's a banger. His slider's really solid. And his changeup's coming along too. That's four pitches at pretty much elite level. The biggest thing is just harnessing it, having that confidence, and challenging hitters. He does that, then everything's going to fall into place.
Yeah, I've kind of, we did this thing, a podcast looking at the X factor. Who's the biggest X factor for this team? And there's a bunch of guys, but we concluded it was Cease. Because if Cease can become this pitcher this year, I mean, look at your rotation. What does that do for your rotation if he takes that next step?
It's huge. I've always said, like, it's an honor to be considered the ace of the team, the number one guy, but I want there to be five aces. There should be five aces. There should be five guys in the rotation that everybody else on the team, coaches, position players, relievers, they're confident we're going to win the game because that guy's taking the mound to start the game. For that to happen, it just takes work. It takes focus, preparation, and that's what we're doing right now.
Do you want to know the top three contenders for the Cy Young Award in terms of odds, or should I not tell you this?
I might have seen that in the tweet. I think I'm in there.
You are. It goes Gerrit Cole 3.5 to 1, Bieber 4 to 1, you're 4.5 to 1. How does that feel just to be in that conversation with those two guys, Cole and Bieber?
It's great. It's great. I mean, I'm very confident in my ability. Obviously, I would love to win a Cy Young Award, multiple Cy Young Awards. I can't go out and pitch to win Cy Young Awards. I have to pitch to win games for our team because winning a World Series ring is going to mean a lot more than a Cy Young Award. But like, I'm very well aware of my talent. It's just a matter of having that daily focus on my preparation and going out there on my start days and doing what I know how, doing what I know I can do.
Michael Kopech, your thoughts of what you've seen from him?
Well, he's like sitting 96 in his bullpens, which is just crazy to me. You know, I'm up there throwing it 89, 92, and his like easy fastballs at 95, 96. The stuff is electric, man. Like there's no way other way around it. You know, he took that year off last year. Everybody respects that decision. But we can see that he's come back pretty hungry. And I'm just excited to see what he can do, man. He's been putting in a lot of work.
And the way that they seem to be describing, I'm talking about Rick Hahn, is he might be starting in the bullpen. And what do you think about him as a bullpen arm to start his season?
I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, you look at, he has an innings limit. He's coming off at Tommy John and a year off. If he were to just start games out of the get-go, whether it be no matter where it is, AAA, big leagues, like you're eventually going to hit that limit if you're logging innings early in the season, a lot of them. It would be kind of like that Strasburg situation that the Nationals had a while ago. I think that that can be avoided by getting some innings in the bullpen, you know, having more rest, not as much bulk. And then when it really matters, okay, cool. Like, we'll assess where we're at.
Yeah. Think about him and Crochet in the same bullpen.
Crazy, man.
Righty lefty.
Yeah. It's insane. The arms we have are unreal. You know, I still think that Aaron Bummer has like the best pitch in baseball. Like, as far as that sinker, I think it's the nastiest pitch in baseball.
You do? Nastiest yeah. pitch in baseball, all of baseball. Now, why mm-hmm. is that?
There's nothing like it, man. Like, you know, a lot of guys, you know, I throw a fastball with ride. Like, a lot of guys throw fastballs with ride. There's guys that throw riding fastballs that are harder than mine. Like, there's guys with nasty sliders, but there's a lot of guys with nasty sliders. Changeups, like, yeah, I have a good changeup. Devin Williams, Luis Castillo, like, you can compare, right? Aaron Bummer sinker, like, I don't have a comparison to that. I mean, maybe Jordan Hicks, but Jordan Hicks is a righty, so it's different. Bummer, I mean, his sinker has so much depth, and it's like 97. It's crazy. I think it's the nastiest pitch.
Do you see, or actually, let me rephrase that. Do you hear from other players, from other teams about that sinker, or do you just more see what they're doing and or really what they can't do with it?
I'd say more of the latter, but I have had conversations with buddies around the league about it. It's like a video game pitch.
That's good stuff. All right, a couple more questions. One is about Andrew Vaughn. And I go back to the intra-squad games you guys were having in Chicago before the season started, and you faced him, and he was a tough out for you, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. I faced him in live bullpens up in Sacramento as well before last year started. And I faced him in my live BP like a week ago.
So what's it like facing him? What makes him so tough in the box for you or for anybody?
Well, he hasn't played above double A ball.
Hasn't played above high A.
He hasn't played above high A, but he has a major league approach. And he has a major league swing. He's got power. He's got plate discipline. It's the full package. I think that he's going to be a offensive force for many years. I'm happy that he's on our team. And I don't have to face him very much, except in inner squads and whatnot.
There is that question, though. Like, okay, he hasn't played above high A. There was no minor league season last year. He's playing in the alternate site. How major league ready will he be this year? I mean, I guess no one can really answer it, but you have certainly seen him more than I have. Do you feel like he'll be ready for the season? Not just ready, but he'll be ready for to be the force that he can be.
I absolutely think so, because he has the mindset for it as well. Very good clubhouse presence. Very, very even keeled. Like, I just think that he has the makeup on that side. And then obviously the physical ability. I don't see why he couldn't help our team this year.
Good stuff. How would you describe camp really quick so far?
Just having a lot of fun and a lot of focus work. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about it earlier, like moving station to station. Everything's very specific. It's very efficient. I just think that it could not be going any better right now.
That's awesome.
We just got to keep putting good work in every day.
I'm trying to imagine this season that would include fans, hopefully opening day, if not at some point. Are you imagining what the next 6 months could be like for you guys?
Hopefully filled with a lot of wins. That's all I care about, man. Like, winning ball games, you know, hopefully winning the division, putting ourselves in a really good spot in the playoffs, playing strong baseball on that that final stretch. I think we were kind of missing that last year. Putting teams away, doing what we're supposed to do, being very focused, holding each other accountable as teammates on and off the field, all that stuff. I think that we're on the right path. We've had a great start.
Yeah. You mentioned you needed a killer instinct. I was talking to TA. He used a different word. It involved mother and swear word after that.
Yeah.
Can you get what he was saying? And did you know that that was missing last year, or did you figure it out after the season?
I feel like it came in flashes last year.
Which part? What came in flashes? The killer
instinct. That killer instinct. I think that we kind of started off the season a little flat. I remember Dallas addressed our team in Detroit.
Yeah.
We started playing very good baseball for a while after that. We clinched a playoff spot, maybe let off the gas a little bit. I don't know if guys were tired, you know, there's a lot of factors, but I think that we learned from all of that. And the big thing this year is going to have that mentality every single day. And if we're slacking, if we catch ourselves slacking in any way, like that kind of comes into like holding each other accountable, holding ourselves accountable, really recognizing, like nipping whatever it is quick and getting back to our focus and what we need to do.
Yeah. I just look at this team now. You have this nucleus of young guys who are learning how to win, and you guys have been surrounded. You are surrounded by World Series experience, like everywhere, mm-hmm. coaching staff with your manager. And I mean, up and down the diamond. And I know you're a pitcher, but I felt you guys needed it in your everyday lineup, and you got it with Eaton, mm-hmm. right? People aren't really talking too much about, like, I mean, people wanted George Springer. I wanted George Springer in right field, but Adam Eaton's a sneaky good right fielder, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's great in right. I think that he's great in the box. Like, he's one of those guys that it's one of the guys I don't like facing. Like, I'm cool with facing the home run hitter that strikes out a lot. But like that pesky guy that you know, fouls off pitches, works ABs, gets on base, like walks, you know, flares. That's why I don't like facing.
You hate the flares. You have nightmares about the flares, don't you?
Yeah, the chopper hits and flares. Like, that's why I don't like facing Madrigal in lives. But Eaton is kind of that similar, except he's got some pop too, man. He'll turn on a ball and send it out.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I just look at this lineup and you go, I mean, you're going to have, if Eaton bats eighth, I mean, he could bat first, second, you know, I don't know what's going to be, but say he bats eighth, you go through all those guys and then you get to Eaton.
That's the thing there. You don't see the holes. Like, for me, when I look at a lineup I'm going to be facing, it's like, okay, where in the lineup am I like so confident? You know, I'm not too worried about maybe missing this location or doing that. Like, we don't have that, man. We just don't. Like, Madrigal will golf a pitch out of the ground and loop it over the shortstop's head for a base hit. Like, top to bottom, like, we have guys that are hitting homers, gap power, and guys that are getting on base, seeing the ball well, walks. Like, I'm glad I don't have to face our team, man. I'm glad.
Yeah. And I was talking to Danny Mendick, and Danny's like, you know, I really like the position that I'm in. Cause whenever I'm in the lineup, everyone's gonna be like, phew, okay, I got Mendick, but you want to be in that position. You're like, oh, this guy's going to take it easy on me. Here comes the heater.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, the pitcher's like laboring through the top of her order, and it's like, oh, okay, you know, this guy's got a day off. Danny Mendick's in. You know, maybe the concentration just lets off a little bit. Next thing you know, Danny's ripping a double in the gap. Like, we have so much talent, man. Even guys on the bench.
Can we start the season? This is getting me all fired up.
I'm fired up too, but at the same time, like, can't rush anything.
Right.
I'm a broken record, but it's all about that daily work, you know, getting better each day, preparation, and, you know, just getting that focus up.
I don't know if this is going to be a downer to end it on, but I'm harking back to last spring training when we were at Dave and Buster's and like, this is before COVID, and it was, that was a fun competition. I look forward to the day when we can come back. I don't even know if Dave and Buster's is still around anymore, but to do something like that again, because that really revealed your guys' chemistry, how much you guys like being around each other. To go to Dave and Buster's, and we saw the chemistry, the love you guys have for each other. right? The brotherhood, because that's a real thing. It's not fake. It's there.
No, it's absolutely real. And I'm very happy that we have Tony to kind of run it all. That's what he's really been promoting. I mean, we already touched on this earlier, but that's that family environment. I think it's absolutely huge. You know, everyone caring about everybody within the clubhouse, playing for each other. That's only going to bring the best out of us.
Awesome. Well, this has been great catching up with you. We'll see you on the mound. I'll be wearing a mask somewhere in a press box somewhere at Camelback Ranch, and looking forward to 2021 beginning.
Sounds good, Chuck. Appreciate it as always.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. My thanks to Lucas Giolito. My thanks to all of you for listening. Hawk Harrelson, take it away.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.